WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. considers the Syrian group that ousted President Bashar Assad a terrorist organization. But Secretary of State Antony Blinken, at a meeting about Syria in Jordan, says the U.S. has been in direct contact with that group.
We've been in contact with HTS and with other parties. We have impressed upon everyone we've been in contact with the importance of finding Austin Tice and bringing him home.
Austin Tice, an American freelance journalist and Marine veteran, kidnapped in Syria in 2012. President-elect Donald Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game today. There's a flight restriction in the area around the stadium in Maryland, and now authorities reminding people that is a no-drone zone as well, as New York Governor Kathy Hochul says this has gone too far after drone activity shut down runways at Stewart Airport north of New York City Friday. She's calling on the federal government to strengthen drone oversight. This is ABC News. 16 people were transported to hospitals in southwest Florida after two airboats collided Friday. It happened at an Everglades tour business. It's not clear how the crash occurred. A woman who said three college athletes sexually assaulted her in 2006 now says she made the entire thing up. ABC's Steve Osunsami has details.
Nearly 20 years after her story sent shockwaves across the Duke University campus, the dancer who accused three college lacrosse players of raping her is publicly admitting on the Let's Talk with Kat podcast that she lied.
I want them to know that I love them and they didn't deserve that. And I hope they can forgive me.
With a black accuser and the young and white and well-to-do men she accused, the case was explosive and in the national headlines. Her story eventually fell apart. And the young men who had always maintained their innocence were famously cleared.
That's ABC's Steve Osunsami. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanella says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The Wisconsin Innocence Project is ending the year with some key victories, including helping with the release of two men who each spent decades in prison. But their cases illustrate systemic issues. Judith Ruiz Brandt reports.
David Bintz spent 25 years in prison, and Manuel Cucuta spent 27 years in prison. Both were sentenced to life despite glaring holes in their cases. The Wisconsin Innocence Project believed both are innocent. Project co-director Christopher Lau says it speaks to a greater systemic issue that colors most of their cases and reinforces what it was designed to do.
So part of this is just historical. You know, the way our policing and incarceration system evolved was from basically their vestiges of slavery. And, you know, we try to keep down historically underrepresented people.
He says while not everyone may adopt those views, there is a lot of pressure to close cases and keep people incarcerated. The U.S. incarcerates more people for longer than any other developed country in the world. Compared with Wisconsin's total population, Black and Native people are overrepresented in the incarcerated population, with Black people incarcerated at a rate 11 times higher than white people. Lau says in order to even begin to think about reform, The U.S. and the state of Wisconsin need to re-examine priorities in funding, as well as rethink the point of doling out such long sentences when it doesn't keep communities safer.
Good arguments that it makes us less safe, but we still keep doing it because it's, I think, one, easy politically, and it's because it's where we put all of our money.
He says, regardless of guilt or innocence, there are simply too many people who are incarcerated. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Slight chance of snow this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 30 degrees. Southeast winds up to 25 miles per hour. Winds gust to 20 on your Saturday night. Chance of snow and freezing rain, and temperatures right around 30 degrees. Sunday cloudy, 37.
It's 24 right now.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Casey and the Sunshine Band, so appropriate for Florida sunshine. This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
And fill-in host, guest, Ellie Mae Smoller. And we, oh, Jess, it's going to be a fun week. I'm telling you
it
what.
Is.
We literally got off a plane last night, got home at about midnight last night from Florida.
Back.
We took,
thank you.
Appreciate it. We were just sharing some photos before the show here, and I'm so excited because I just decided something.
Ooh.
We are going to do a yearly trip to Florida to gator hunt, and Jess, you're going next year.
Absolutely.
Gals Gator Camp.
Yep,
Gals Gator Camp.
Gals Gator Camp with Joel. Well, okay, look, even the Angels had their Charlie, right? So I think it works out great. I have to tell you, so our weekly Wisco is actually Florida this week. It is for me anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely mine.
We got back. We made it safely through. None of us got eviscerated by alligators or wild hogs running through the palmettos of Florida. We had an absolutely incredible trip. Now, Danielle and I have been hunting together for 12 plus years. Okay, more than
a decade.
And this was our first destination trip to hunt together.
It was.
And it was, yeah. And I was so excited. You know, Ellie Mae Smoller from the First Hunt Foundation and a longtime friend of mine, 20-year-plus friend, Jess Thielen, who's been on Raised in Wisco before. She has never, she just this year started to get into hunting. And I'm really excited to say I have killed a turkey with everybody from that group.
All this year as well.
Well, that's right. Now, Danielle, the first turkey we killed together was ages ago.
Yes,
did
it
we
was.
Ever talk about the fact that, so Danielle brought a bow and
we
a shotgun.
We did talk about, would love to talk about it again.
Called a turkey in from a million miles away. Danielle swung and missed with the bow and she's like, give me the damn shotgun.
Yes, and then we got it.
Fortunately.
And way now, to go, Danielle.
And it's the effort that counts, man.
Absolutely.
I have to try.
100% the effort that counts. And in addition, we've got Jess lined up. Now, that's a lot of pressure, though. And Danielle, you're going to be in the Dominican Republic or something?
Virgin Islands. I'll be fishing in the Virgin Islands and seeing a bunch of friends.
I think Ellie Mae, are you going to step in and hunt with us, hunt with Jess and me?
If I don't go to Virgin Islands with Danielle, yes. I'll be attending the turkey hunt.
Oh, I see what's happening here.
I'm still undecided.
Fine.
Jess, do you want to come to the Virgin Islands?
I mean,
right.
Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to have Jess decide. Jess, you want me to come turkey hunting with you and Joel, or should I go to the Virgin Islands?
Oh, you can't put that pressure on me.
Wow.
Jess, that's not
that
the answer I was
pressure.
Looking for.
That is a lot of pressure to put on her.
Of course I want you to be there with me.
All right, I'll come with you.
I mean,
I want you to go with Jess.
Go to the Virgin Islands.
Wait, now this, I'm stuck in the middle.
Okay. Well,
just tell me where to be and when.
Let me just tell you, this was this that dynamic that you just saw right there was very similar to the whole weekend. We got down there Friday, and I'll tell you the most bizarre thing to me. I mean, this was like literally raised in Wisco on the road in Florida. And I kind of tried, you know, Danielle and Ellie, we were talking about it last week about what to expect. So my first question to you, Danielle, is, was it what you expected?
It was not what I expected. What I expected was, oh, some of it was, I was a trailer in the middle of nowhere in a field with the woods. And hearing the palmetto bugs, crickets, and what I call the grandpa's beard, but what it's just Spanish moss. And then that was much about it. Hogs everywhere, shooting guns out of a tree stand. Yes, I expected that. But I did not actually think it was going to be in the dead of night.
Ooh, yeah.
I thought it was going to be twilight, and that was it. And we would come back around maybe 10 o'clock. But the hogs did not come on camera until about 9 to 11 o'clock. And right. That is when my thoughts go crazy. I have
really?
Seen so many horror movies.
Really? It is. Okay. I want to set the scene. As the sun, first of all, we're on a kind of a plateau on the property. All right. There's a pasture at the top, like a 10 acre pasture. Then it drops down, which is very strange because there's not a lot of topography in Florida. Everything's pretty flat. I mean, it's an old giant marsh that they built. Brought in sand, more sand, and built houses on there. But the property we hunted literally has, it's topographical. And so it goes down a hill to a river that runs through the palmettos. And palmettos, if you can think of them, are like miniature palm trees all over the place. And you can't see, when you wade through them, you can't see from your knee to your foot. Mm-hmm. So you got to watch where you're stepping because there are rattlesnakes and other kinds of snakes and critters and bugs. And I mean, it's Florida. I don't know how people live in Florida with all the critters that can kill you there. I'm telling you.
Oh, the wolf spiders. They were definitely everywhere.
We saw a lot of wolf spiders. Mm-hmm. And then we had the interesting fact that none of the water was running at the trailer.
That didn't slow us down at all.
That did not.
A few gallons of water later.
We had outdoor spa time.
No biggie.
It was fantastic. But I have to tell you, what's so crazy about Florida to me in the palmettos, when you're in the thick of it, and we say woods up here, it's not really woods there. They call it in the palmettos because it's palm trees. There are cypresses.
That was so beautiful, evergreens.
Yeah. So when that sun is setting and you're in your stand or in your blind and the sun setting, it is the most picturesque, beautiful sunsets ever. You know, you see the shadows of the palm trees and everything's pristine and picturesque. Then it gets pitch black.
It was a different type of dark down there.
The moon
did come out and light up everything,
black.
But I'm used to the oak tree leaves and just seeing the trees, the shadows of the trees by my stand up here in Wisconsin. But seeing the Spanish moss shadows and then the palmetto shadows and everything, it was completely different. My eyes kept playing tricks on me.
Also the noises.
Sounds.
Sitting in the woods by us in pitch black, you know, coyote hunting and stuff. The sounds are so much different.
It is.
Well,
and then when you see something and you do not have the obviously it's dark, you cannot actually see it. So you have to actually put up your night vision scope and look around to try to find what is making this noise. And these hogs, you couldn't find them because it was just, they were running through the thick of the palmettos.
Oh, yeah. The sounds. I want to talk about when your mind starts to play tricks on you, you start hearing things and you're wondering if the crackling you're hearing is a snake coming up the tree that you're in. Danielle sat fully exposed in a, you know, in a tree stand, and she sat for hours on end. And what was the rule we said about wild hogs? So wild hogs smell 7 times better than a white-tailed deer. That's why they can find truffles under the ground, right? And they will literally smell everybody. You can't do anything for them not to smell. They know you're there. It's just a matter of whether you can outlive their desire to eat, to come to corn
their
and
stomach,
eat, right?
Yep.
Their stomach. Mm-hmm. So we did talk about the rule of if you can outlast their stomach, you're going to be a successful hog hunter. So when it's quiet, you'll hear these little snorts every once in a while or grunts. You know they're pigs. You know they're wild hogs.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what? I always tell people a wild hog will kill you far before an alligator will. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things are just, they can be really nasty critters. So Danielle, I was blown away. I mean, I shouldn't say I was surprised by you because nothing you do surprised me. Mm-hmm. You are an actual hardcore hunter. But I was blown away with how long you sat. You were that determined. And when you're sitting up there hearing hogs, and then we had symphonies of coyotes.
Oh, my goodness. So I have cool. never heard so many coyotes. And then the
they
osprey.
They were insane.
Oh, that's
the
right.
The osprey was singing.
That was awesome. Yes.
It was the greatest, greatest sound.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
The greatest time, and it was 40 degrees.
Yeah,
I thought I dressed
beautiful.
Appropriately until it got about 11 o'clock. I'm like, I am so cold right now, but I have not shot one right
well,
yet.
Well, the tough Wisconsin gals thought, oh, yeah, 40 degrees. This is so warm.
Yeah,
we're kind of in a hoodie.
No big deal.
No way.
I was
it gets
so
chilly.
Cold.
Well, what you don't assume down there is, first of all, Florida has the swings like Wisconsin does, right? They have the warm in the day, cool at night mm-hmm. swings. But what you don't assume, Florida always has that salt, moist air going
yeah.
on. And when 40 degrees here, when it's dry, is not cold.
Mm-hmm.
40 degrees when it's extremely damp mm-hmm. is very cold.
Yep.
It's just that dampness eats through you and you've got to dress for the weather. But I was so blown away. I mean, and I was sitting on the porch just kind of watching the whole night unfold. And I, all of a sudden, then we hear a gunshot and mm-hmm. I was so excited. Mm-hmm. Danielle, you know, that wasn't that night. We heard a gunshot from off property.
We did, yes.
So we gave up.
Yeah.
That was you killed your hog the night we gave up.
Yeah, I actually wanted to say, you know, you were talking about outlasting the hogs, you know,
stomach.
Hunger and stomach. Well, Joel, Jessica, and I, our stomachs gave up and we went to get something to eat and Danielle chose to stay in the stand.
Oh my gosh, that's right. That's right. Actually,
yep.
our stomachs did not. Danielle's stomach outlasted.
Yeah, exactly.
She's really bizarre. Always eating.
I got antsy, and sure enough, Danielle called and said she shot it.
Oh yeah,
that's
they came.
Right.
They came walking right in, and I definitely heard.
Take us
I
through
heard,
what you saw and what you heard when you finally shot.
Oh my goodness! So it was after a couple coyotes have run away. I could hear them. I texted you. I'm like, am I able to shoot coyotes as well? Because they were getting close.
Yeah,
but you guys. Got out and you started texting me. And the rule of the thing was if you need to have an okay from everybody to get out of your stand, because again, we don't know where we are.
Right.
So to be safe and
yeah,
let
we
us know
all
if we're pushing
out.
Something.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to be right. leaving the stand.
Well, because
we need okay
40
from
acres
everybody.
Is a big, deep, big enough property, but mm-hmm. you still don't want to be shooting across it. You can still,
yes.
a bullet will go across it. You want to make sure no one's walking when you don't know, you know, and there's stands on properties. We were utmost, I mean, Ellie Mae is, you know, an instructor, a firearm safety
mentor.
Instructor, mentor. So, I mean, that's really important. All right. So take us through, Danielle.
Yeah. And then, all of a sudden, I get about 20 messages coming through. My phone's on vibrate. I'm like, okay, something happened. Maybe someone shot and I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at my phone and I hear just the loudest snorts I've ever heard.
Could you impersonate those for us, Danielle?
You would be really...
Let's hear it.
And then they ran away and then the greatest thing happened. And I will tell you... the unbelievable unfolding when we come back.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear it. What an awesome, awesome trip. You're going to hear about it. Race in Wisco.
Yeah. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
My boogie shoes are moving. And this is Raised in Wisco. Talk about moving, jumping, and jamming. Danielle Fairman.
Joel Clayfish.
What an awesome weekend we had.
I cannot believe the weekend we had. Gators, boars,
Gators,
laughter,
hogs,
beer.
LMA Smollett was there. Danielle Fairman was there. And yours truly, Joel Clayfish, took a Raised and Wisco
road trip.
Well, you can't say road trip because we flew.
Plane trip.
But,
yeah,
Air trip. We went to Yeehaw Junction, Florida.
Yeehaw.
It is a real place. I mean, could you please explain to me? And now,
well, the neighbors had emus.
They did. There were folks with emus. I mean,
that's so random.
And just to kind of explain where we're going, and Danielle, we got to get back to your story because Danielle is in the stand
so
6 hours. And she's just sitting there. We had dodged out. Our stomachs got the best of us. Danielle's hog hunting at the top of a tree. And we are all texting, yeah, we're going to go eat. Danielle's like, I'm staying. I'm staying in the tree.
Danielle's like, I don't want any food. I want a hog.
Yeah.
That's right.
You guys
and
leave.
Sure as
I can
heck,
see your light. Go away.
Now, I see your light. You're disturbing the stuff. And so we literally leave. Do you think it was the fact that we were gone and it was so quiet around you that those hogs felt comfortable coming in? Take us through the
so
rest of the story.
I believe what happened, you guys came in. Jess was probably about how many yards? 200-300 yards?
Probably
or so
200 yards
away from me.
Yeah.
But it was closer to the road where we were driving from the trailer to the fence.
And when she says road, she really means path. There are no roads.
Absolutely. Definitely
where
a path.
Where you're going, there are no roads.
And
I was definitely off the road.
Yeah, you were across
in the back 40.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute because I don't know how you were sitting back where you were sitting as long as you did either, Ellie. That's crazy. It's and the sounds, I was a little freaked out sitting by the trailer on the deck and I was hearing the coyotes going and the hogs snorting and the birds make some weird noises out there too.
Oh, they were. I put on my Merlin bird app so I can hear all the different types of birds.
Oh, I was just going to say, Danielle, it was so hard for me to sit there because it's like, I don't know the birds.
Yeah, I need to put
I don't even know.
I need to see what is making this noise so my heart can calm down.
Yeah.
So you guys left about, I'm just going to throw it, like 9:30.
Yeah, it's probably right around there.
Yeah, it's probably there. We ducked out
pretty early.
You guys were sitting from about, what, 5 to 9?
Yeah.
That's still a long sit.
I think it was like more like 4. It wasn't 4:30 because it was an hour before sunset.
Yeah, you're right, Danielle.
And so then you guys head off, and about 20-30 minutes later, coming from the direction of Jess's stand was a bunch of rustling going through the palmettos, and you could hear them. It's like walking on crinkled up paper. Like they were so loud.
Hogs are loud. But they don't care.
Not one bit. And I could not for the life of me find where these things were.
In the scope.
I hear
them. It's a night vision scope, which is very hard to hunt in because it's a very limited view of what you can see.
And so I'm searching, looking through all the brush or whatever you want to call it. And I keep hearing them. So I put the night vision down and I'm listening. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're to the left more. All right. Put it up. Let's go to the left more. But I'm looking up and down and I see a bunny. Then I see a raccoon and then just everything else. I'm like, I know you are here mm-hmm. and I do not want to move so fast because I'm thinking they can hear me squeak in the tree stand
sure,
or something.
Sure. They listen really well. They can't see for junk, but they can smell.
Oh, and well, my heart was beating so fast.
I imagine.
And next thing I know, here is a line of like six or seven. I'm coming through. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. okay. Joel said behind the ear, shoot them behind the ear. And they're all facing different ways. And,
and they never stop moving.
No.
They do not. They're not like deer. They do not stop moving.
And then
moving.
There's these bogs. So the bogs, it was just like big, I don't know.
Yeah,
just
palmetto
bogs.
Big palmetto
and
bogs.
And they're bobbing and weaving through. I'm like, oh, there they are. And I'm trying to get a good actual shot. And then they finally stop. And then I shoot behind the ear in my head. Behind the ear. And that's right through the, like right over the top of the shoulder. Cuts their belly or wherever it was. It did not.
Oh, it was a great shot, Danielle.
It was a great shot.
Danielle, you got it. And you got it. And
I
that
got
was
it.
Crazy exciting.
We all cheered when we got the
and
text.
The,
oh, yeah.
Here's the
dinner.
Funny thing. Danielle's like, I think I shot a little one.
Yeah, I did. Through the scope.
She
they
thought,
look so tiny.
It was through the scope. But the scope's an inch.
And we get there.
Christopher, our camp manager down there, he walks in and he's dragging this thing. And I'm like, that thing's huge, Danielle.
I was trying
it
to drag
huge.
It.
Yeah,
I
you were telling us, like, it's
palmettos.
so small. So we thought we were going to come back to, like, you and this little piglet. And here Christopher and Danielle come out of the woods with this big hog. We're like, Danielle, come on.
Dragging a hog through the palmettos was the hardest thing I've ever did.
It's way
I kept falling.
Harder.
I'm like, Chris, hold on. My foot's stuck. I need help.
Well, that thing weighed like what a full, like a large doe would weigh for
oh my
sure.
Goodness.
And you're, and they're kind of, they don't slide like a doe. They're not slender like a deer when you're dragging them. And, you know, I do, there's
it's
something.
Like dragging a cinder block.
Yes. And I want to, real quick, one of the things that's interesting to me is Danielle's an experienced hunter, and I'm not joking. It is, I'm going to say this right, when I sit out there in those palmettos and it gets dark in Florida with all the creepy crawlies, it's downright a little creepy.
I mm-hmm. was singing J.J. Gray on fire over and over and over in my head. Every time I got scared, I started singing to myself.
Aww.
I was like, okay, distraction. I do not know what this sound is.
And here's the crazier part. Jess, who was out there, who wasn't able to join us for the show today, she has never hunted big game in her life.
Yeah.
She's never killed a deer. So she's out there for the first time.
Oh, she was a trooper,
yeah,
too.
She really was.
I mean,
she was
holy
so good.
Cow!
Yeah.
She's sitting, and she got paid off in a big way that we're going to talk about, which I'm very
goodness,
excited
I'm
to talk
so
about.
I'm so happy for her.
But here's my question to producer Jess, not to be confused with Jess Thielen, who was out there with us. Producer Jess, do you think you could handle sitting out there like that in this scenario?
Mm.
Never having done it before? Because, I mean,
you know, I like, me as slightly outdoors.
Yeah,
I like to be outside, and I like a good outdoor, quiet sit and think.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you'd love it then.
So, you would absolutely love
with
it.
With the sounds, and it's very, I'm not like a big Zen believer, dude, but it's very Zen.
You're
do you know
not,
what I mean?
You're not a big Zen believer, dude.
I'm not like a Zen believer, dude, but I absolutely, I think if you want to find,
it was very Zen.
To
it was
find
zen.
Your peace, you can
zen
find your peace out there for sure.
It
because
sounds like it.
You think that the noises are going to be disruptive, but they're not. They just kind of add to the experience. Mm-hmm. They really do.
And the smell, the air, the air was so crisp and perfect.
It really does smell good, and I can't put my finger on it, but those palmettos and the pine trees and the palms and the cypresses just put such a wonderful...
It was an I cannot wait to do this again experience.
Oh,
yes,
me too. It was way better than I ever imagined, and I want to say real quickly, we hunt the hogs out there and we kill the hogs. They are invasive. They're overpopulated. They're destroying farmland and cropland in Florida, and we eat them. So we do not waste anything mm-hmm. that we hunt down there in Florida. And for those who may say like, well, are you shooting? Would you shoot a piglet? Would you shoot a small one? We are doing management for not only the ecology, but for actually the proliferation and health of the hog species as well, because they're very overpopulated in Florida. I cannot wait for the stories we're going to tell about the gator hunt with Keith Parlier. That's so great. This is Raised in Wisco.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. considers the Syrian group that ousted President Bashar Assad a terrorist organization. But Secretary of State Antony Blinken, at a meeting about Syria in Jordan, says the U.S. has been in direct contact with that group.
We've been in contact with HTS and with other parties. We have impressed upon everyone we've been in contact with the importance of finding Austin Tice and bringing him home.
Austin Tice, an American freelance journalist and Marine veteran kidnapped in Syria in 2012. President-elect Donald Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game today. There's a flight restriction in the area around the stadium in Maryland, and now authorities reminding people that is a no-drone zone as well, as New York Governor Kathy Hochul says this has gone too far. It's after drone activity shut down runways at Stewart Airport north of New York City Friday. She's calling on the federal government to strengthen drone oversight. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers head to Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another game in prime time for Green Bay. The 9-4 Packers take on the 8-5 Seahawks tomorrow night at Lumen Field. Packers wide receiver Bo Melton spent his rookie season after being drafted by Seattle and says it's definitely a loud, noisy place to play.
It's real loud, Lumen Field. It'd be shaking. It'd be rocking in there for sure. It's just, I'll say it's definitely a loud crowd. They love the Seahawks. Great atmosphere for sure to play in.
Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander is out for the game, still dealing with a knee injury. He tried to make a comeback a few weeks ago against the Bears, but had to leave after just a few series. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I just didn't want to have another situation like Chicago, where you're in there for a couple plays and it puts a bind on every other area. Puts you some guys in some tough spots in regards to special teams. And then also you want to get the guys that are going to have to go play. We want to get them the reps. So I think that's an important part of it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Slight chance of snow this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 30 degrees. Southeast winds up to 25 miles per hour. Winds gust to 20 on your Saturday night. Chance of snow and freezing rain, and temperatures right around 30 degrees. Sunday cloudy, 37.
It's 24 right now.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs. It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the pre-clearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have pre-clearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll continue a conversation with author Laura Bird, full of recommendations for books that also make great holiday gifts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. And this week's Raised in Wisco went to Florida. Woo. On a trip to Florida, alligator and wild hog hunting. I'm Joel Clayfish, sitting across from Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
You are listening to Raised in Wisco. We love having you along. You can hear us every Saturday on all your Civic Media stations growing throughout the state of Wisconsin. Danielle, tell them where they can hear us after the show.
You can hear us on Apple and Spotify, as well go to civicmedia.us and search for your favorite show like Raised in Wisco. You can also follow us on Facebook. Give us a like, because everyone loves the good likes. And then you can listen to us on YouTube. Yeah, and then see your beautiful dance moves that you have for the KC and Sunshine Band.
You know what? I dance almost every into and out of every break, don't I, Jess?
Producer Jess. Absolutely.
You know what?
He asked me, can I dance? He's like, yeah, Joel, and of course.
I can't, the rhythm moves me. What do you want me to say?
You got your boogie shoes on.
I got my boogie shoes on. We got KC and the Sunshine Band playing today. Yeah, I can't help it.
We definitely jammed a KC and Sunshine Band.
And I'm telling you, if you're
a
listener and you've never seen it, you got to go and watch, because I'm say it right now. I'm a good dancer.
Such a great dancer.
You are a good dancer.
She's being nice.
Can we mull that? Wait, what time is it? Hold on.
Ellie said something nice about me.
It's past my bedtime, so I'm obviously delirious at this point.
What are you, 80? It's past your bedtime. All right.
Yeah, Danielle,
actually. We took a road trip down to Florida.
Air trip.
We took an airplane flying on a jet plane to Florida. We went to Yeehaw Junction, Florida, where we hunted alligators and hogs. And Danielle had the experience of a lifetime sitting in a tree in the palmettos in the Florida swamp, which is about as cool as it gets.
Sitting there in a sweatshirt, some sweatpants, camouflage in black, of course.
Beautiful.
With what gun was I using? A 220. What?
You were using a 223/556, but we were using 223 bullets, which is a 22 caliber bullet with a lot of meat behind it. And
there was a lot of meat. It got that hog.
And sure did.
Dude, I got a hog.
Yeah, you did
get a hog.
That is so
she was
cool.
The only one. We had three women with us. Danielle Fairman, co-host of Raised in Wisco, with me. We had Ellie Mae Smoller from the First Hunt Foundation, and Jessica Thielen was along, who is a brand new hunter, and what a sport she was to sit out there, to not really be familiar with what it's like to sit in a tree stand. Mm-hmm. And then this hunting's done at night in the dark, and Florida in the swamp is dark at night, and those stars are bright, but it can be a pretty creepy, overwhelming experience. And I want to, we're never going to get to it all if we don't move on to what we need to talk about, which is this was all the night before. And there's Jess, I love how you timed that alarm right in there. You must have been right ready to tell us it's time to talk about gator hunting.
A timely reminder. Check your notifications.
So this was all, I want to talk about a phenomenon that happens when you go to Florida and you hunt hogs and gators. What we've talked about so far all happened on the first day we got there.
The first day / week.
It is so bizarre.
It was a 4-week vacation.
Each day was a week.
It feels like one day is like 4 or 5 days. And it seemed, this was before we ever even went gator hunting the next day. So the next, so this is the first night Danielle gets her. We get up. We were up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to get to the airport. We fly down to Florida. We get there at 10 in the morning, rent the truck, drive to Yeehaw Junction to hunt. And I'm not even kidding. I think that's Providence. There's no way. I mean, we're literally hunting in Yeehaw Junction, Florida. And I sure hope we have time because I want to talk about redneck culture yet, yeah. Which yep. is so fantastic. And actually, the term redneck, I mean, some people in the United States use that term as a negative term. It is a term that is swells with pride down in Florida.
Everyone was absolutely fantastic. I want to go down there and hang out with everybody again.
Oh, we're going to get
the hospitality was insane. So great.
And the food. We'll say that for the last segment right there.
Phenomenal.
But then the next morning, we all jumped into the truck and drove an hour and a half south.
Yep.
And met up with this other gentleman, jumped into his truck.
Yes.
And then drove us up and down.
Yes.
I don't know what they were called. Just little
dikes.
Little dikes. Yeah.
They're
just drove us
dikes.
Up and down dikes. And that was also not what I was envisioning either. I thought I was going on an airboat in the middle of the water because of swamp people. That's what I had. Right, that's the vision I had.
Well, it is, but we do hunt the gators like swamp people any way possible. I mean, so we headed down the next morning very early and drove an hour and a half down to Indrio Road, which is south of Vero in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Fort Pierce, yeah.
And we met up with Keith Parlier. Now, Keith Parlier is as Central Florida as it gets. I mean, that guy, he's all of like, I mean, I think he's about 5'10", but I think he weighs 420 pounds and it's all in his biceps. I mean, this guy
is really strong.
Is an absolute monster. I mean, it blows my mind that this guy can lift like 300 pound gators by himself, leap tall buildings in a single bound. So we get to meet Keith. Now, a little background. I've known Keith for, you know, more than a decade. We've become incredibly close friends, which I know because he rips on me constantly. Yeah. And I don't think he'd make fun of me half as much if he didn't like me as much. That's at least how I'm justifying it.
Yep.
But we get in a truck and we're driving up and down the dikes. And what are the dikes? Are there are tops and bottoms to orange trees. So I want to kind of explain this. All of Florida, all of this region of Florida used to be citrus. It used to be orange trees, grapefruit, lemons. Well, since people started drinking energy drinks and other types of drinks, orange juice production is way down. So now a lot of that property is grazing land for cattle or horses, but the tops and bottoms of the trees still exist. The tops were where the trees were, the bottoms where the water was, so the roots could grow into it and grow healthy citrus, right? Well, a lot of these defunct orange groves, if you will, have become grazing land, and these canals that are in between the tops and bottoms end up being kind of good places for gators to hang out. So when you're trying to control gator populations and when they're harvested for food, that's where it is. So we're in a truck. So we've got all five of us in a truck and we're driving up and down the dikes looking for gators, right? So we come upon Keith stops. We grab each other at the same time. Huge gator across the bank. Huge gator 40 yards away. Danielle,
oh,
you're up. Danielle was up.
Danielle was up. Danielle. We grabbed the gun and I lean out the window and shoot. In between the eyes. Shoot right in between the eyes. Okay, I'm aiming in
You've
between the
hit
eyes.
Him
I'm
in a very,
very
specific
excited.
Triangle.
I am shaking because I'm so excited. And on the first one to shoot, so I'm setting the standards. Like the pressure was on.
Right.
And I release, I shot, everyone screams, woo! Nice shot. Got it. Woo! We get out. We do not see a gator.
Yeah,
so
totally
we're
missed.
In the dike. We're in the dike. Oh, not we. I mean, by we,
Keith
I mean Keith
in.
Walks into the dike. Walks in there with
searching.
A gator that I possibly have shot. So there's a 50-50 chance this bugger is still alive. And he is just walking around there in his hey dudes.
Yeah, just
like,
feeling
excuse
around.
Excuse me, sir.
So
who
this
are
is
you?
Exactly what you were warned about.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then I have a gaff and I'm trying to use a gaff to like poke down to see if I can like touch something hard. He used a musky rod first and wasn't hooking on to anything. So I go in there with the gaff. Nothing. So unfortunately, I missed the first gator, and it was a huge gator, as you guys say. And we were like, we'll come back. This will be the last search. Maybe it floats to the top. It was 4 feet-ish deep.
Yes. And the, we the go fact around, of the matter and, oh my was goodness. You shot the water right next to the gator.
Of course I did.
And I want you to picture this. This what a badass Keith Parlier is. This guy is a badass. He walks down the dike, the side of the dike, into the gator infested water, yes, and is feeling, yes, around with his feet on the bottom of the dike for a potentially injured alligator.
Not a small one either.
I mean, can you say no thank you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was standing on the edge with my jaw on the ground, just like, what? Keith, stop doing that.
Was that the moment you fell in love, Ellie?
Yeah.
Yes, with her gator baby daddy.
But then we get back into the truck and realizing that I have made a horrible mistake. And we keep driving. And then on the left side, here comes another huge gator. Keith stops and just points like, that's it right there. And all of a sudden, Joel, your mouth drops. So does Keith. And then us three in the back.
Who shot on this one?
So this is Jess. Okay. Jess goes and she just relaxes and breathes through
new
everything.
New hunter Jess.
Brand new hunter. Never killed a big game hunter. Animal in her life.
She's like, yes. I'm aiming for the eyeball, which, yeah,
yep,
okay.
She had the crosshairs on the eye.
I'm aiming right in the middle. Middle sucks. Don't do the middle. Just shoot the dang eye out, kid. You shoot your eye out, kid.
Are you actually pulling a line from a Christmas story and relating it to gator hunting? Perfect.
And then shoots it. And then next thing we know, we got the muskie right out. Really, we're reeling in a dead 11 and a half foot alligator.
Huge.
Reeling in like a salmon.
This
Excuse
thing,
me?
What, she put the most perfect ethical shot on this alligator,
yes,
and just stone cold killed it. It was 11 and a half feet.
Massive.
Hundreds of pounds. 70 to 80-year-old alligator.
What?
Jess,
we had to use the wrench.
Never
on the
killed
truck.
A big game
winch
animal
truck,
in yeah. her life.
Yeah, her first harvest was this year, and it was a turkey. So she went from a turkey to an 11
to
and a half
dinosaur.
Foot gator.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was very exciting. I just about flipped the whole table.
And Joel is flipping the table, so we're done here.
And all of us, there was a moment, it was a moment where I was recording, and we're standing on the shore, the three of us with Jess, and Keith's reeling it in, and it was dead silent because we were all looking at this thing going,
yes,
we're
like
talking about within
a
foot
thing.
And a half or so of a state record alligator. And she's just like, and she's got a thick Wisconsin accent. And I'm thinking, she's like, so that's a pretty good one. Yeah?
And Danielle and I are like, oh my gosh.
And I just remember Keith kind of looking back like, you just shot the gator of seven lifetimes. And we're trying to drag this thing out. Nobody can move it. It's
six, seven,
800 pounds. Just an absolute monster.
The steep dike, and we have to use the wrench and the winch
on the truck to even get it out. And it was so fantastic. And she
and
deserved
its tail
it.
Is just oh, dragging
it was so
on the
awesome.
She put a perfect shot on it. It was absolutely awesome. I cannot tell. That was so exciting. And then, I mean, then we move along. And I think out of the day, though, Ellie Mae gets the sharpshooter award. If we actually had to break it down, you shot both your gators. You took two shots and got two gators.
Correct.
You
were
the only person all day
who did
that. And I
did both from sitting on Danielle's lap.
Yeah, that's right. Contorted through.
I was twisted like a pretzel, especially in that second shot. Oh man, that took a second to get lined up.
I was trying to record it, and just to let you all know, we shoot them legally. It is legal the way we harvest them. So if you hear stuff about in on or around the truck, that's perfectly legal. Keith Parlier is a gator harvester. We all had our gator trapping agent licenses to be able to do this. It's phenomenal, fantastic. So Ellie Mae, the first show, was it the first one that I almost ruined?
No,
that was the second one. That was the closest one.
Oh, that's right.
No, was it?
No, it was the first time.
It was the first one.
Yeah, it was the first one.
Yeah, so she's lined up. She's got a perfect. I'm like, you have to hit it within this 2 square inches. And right at the second when she's about to shoot, I jumped on the running board and screwed up the whole shot. And still,
Ellie Mae. So I had to reprimand you. Don't shake the truck.
We should start calling you Annie Oakley Ellie Mae, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Because you...
Ellie Oakley.
I love it.
So now I have 6 nicknames.
We haven't even gotten to your Florida nickname yet. Maybe we'll talk about that before we talk about food, because we gotta talk about food. Man, it was so fantastic. That's what Raising Misko does.
But I also did get a gator as well, too, then.
Oh, heck yeah.
Danielle got a gator.
We're gonna talk about Danielle's gator, my Ellie's gator second scarf. Gator, and what we're eating on Raised in Misko.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Danielle Fairman, raised in Wisco. Okay, now I'm just going to say that qualifies you for karaoke, what you did, because I just could tell in those two notes, that you are not tone deaf. So you are going to sing karaoke. Raised in Wisco.
I'm tone deaf and I still sing it. I don't care.
I don't think you're tone deaf.
Oh, really?
No, you're not. You're not tone deaf.
You guys are really nice right now.
Tone deaf means you cannot hit a note. That means that you hear a note and you cannot match that note under any circumstances. RB, our friend Rob Brennecke, who's been on the show before, he's tone deaf.
Shout out to RB.
Shout out to Rob Brennecke, the tone deaf awesome dude that he is. Raised in Wisco was on the road in Florida hunting alligators and hogs. Danielle Fairman was here with us. Ellie Mae Smoller was there. And we're thrilled you're listening to us on the Civic Media Network throughout Wisconsin Saturdays. We appreciate you listening. And we appreciate the calls we're getting.
Absolutely,
we do. And the feedback is fantastic. And boy, oh boy, what a trip we had. We went through, you know, Danielle's first miss of her gator. Jessica Thielen, her first shot on a gator, a near state record alligator, yes. Her first large game animal of her life. And then we get to Ellie Mae, and she puts a great shot on a gator, and she puts another great shot on a gator. And it just blows my mind. And then we get to go to Cut Right Outback, where my friends, Shelby Ward and Jensen McCord run Cut Right Outback, and they are the ones who butcher the alligators and hogs and send the gator hides to Sebring Tannery to make whatever we want. But the reason I bring them up, and the reason I want to bring Stephanie up from Loco Rito, is we go down there and it's like this separate family that yes. I get to see 5 to 6 times a year.
Wonderful.
And
folks.
It would be absolutely remiss if I didn't talk about how amazing the people are there when we go to Florida. They're really the most incredible part of the experience.
So I'm trying to post the picture of the hog, not the hog, of the alligator on our Facebook page, because it is definitely necessary that when people hear us say 11.5 feet, I do not think they were literally envisioning how big and wide this gator is. So,
oh, yeah.
So when you're listening to this, when you get pulled over, because I know you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify or YouTube, wherever you want to listen to us, to go onto our Facebook page and look at these gator pictures, because they are, it's a different type of huge. And that was not the biggest gator we've seen. We were driving, right, and there right. was one across on the island.
That was bigger than
that. That was bigger than that one.
That thing was absolutely
those
monstrous.
Jowls.
I can't
imagine.
We had no way to get to it, no. So we couldn't take a crack at it.
And then bringing it back to Cut Right Outdoors and hanging it. And then that's when we took the pictures.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful mural, too.
And the people down there really make the trip phenomenal. For me, anyway, it's the serendipity of getting to meet these wonderful people and getting to work with them and do something that's so fantastic and end up with such great food with it at the end of the day.
Yes.
We take home
so much
wild boar. We've got alligator to take home. And there's a spot down there where the local Rito, my friends own it. They're from Wisconsin. They set up shop in Lake Wales, Florida. Mm-hmm. And the food's so fresh and delicious. And that was amazing. Shout out to them. Then we had gator bites from Jimmy's.
Oh, that was so good.
So
we're
amazing.
We're sitting in the back just shoving our faces.
Well, Joel was kind enough to hand me the whole box of them. Yeah. So yes. Of course, I had yes. my...
And I had chauffeur Jimmy's, which I did do very much enjoy, actually. I love driving.
We enjoyed being chauffeured around.
Yes, we did. It was a great time had by all.
You know,
you're a good driver, Joel.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to talk about this, though. This was three women. This is the first all-women trip that I've ever done, and I have to say, guys, you need to get it together, because these ladies were so kind and thoughtful and helpful and appreciative. This is one of the greatest trips I ever had. Plus, I had my old sidekick here, Danielle, with me, and we've been hunting together for over a decade. And it was really, Danielle, it was really great to go with you. I had such a nice time.
It was a great time.
You
Thank you for doing putting all that together.
A really quite a bright spirit, no matter what you do, no matter who you come in contact with. Ellie Mae, you relate to everybody, and everybody relates to you. So I think Ellie Mae left with 420 new best friends.
Oh, she
from
definitely
Florida.
Did. Yeah.
Everything we did, everywhere we went.
I loved everybody.
Plus the Christmas
so many
parade.
Good
and
there
was the Christmas
parade.
Parade
we were
was
featured
going
in a Christmas parade.
Yes, I'm sure you were featured in a Christmas parade.
We were stuck in the parade, so I kept waving out the window. Hello, Merry Christmas
we
from
became
Wisconsin.
Afloat in the parade.
Well, doing a little Queen wave.
Yeah. Everyone was doing it back. Everyone was so polite.
Get your calendar
there.
Out, producer Jess, because next year you're going with
you're
us.
Going.
We're going to do this trip, and we may even drag a few more listeners with us some listeners with us next year when we go. But I have to tell you, I'm excited because next week we're going to tell you what we cooked with the alligator and or hog this week. I'm kind of excited about this. So my question to you, as we're just all we're always running out of time, Jess.
Why are you saying it like it's my fault?
Well, because you're the one giving me the time signals that you don't make them up.
No.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate producer Jess always keeping a handle on this lunchbox, if you know what I mean.
Best.
We appreciate that. Danielle?
Joel?
Would you do it again, and why?
Would I do it? Absolutely, I would do it again. I was dreaming that I was still in the tree stand hog hunting. It was zen. It was a different type of zen for me, and I cannot wait to go back and do it again. I have multiple people that want to join, so...
Ellie Mae?
Gator gals.
Yes or no? Would you do it again and why?
Oh, 110%. I would do it again. I'll go right now if you all want to go.
I don't know if there are any flights
my
this
why,
late.
Oh, so many. The peacefulness of being out, you know, sitting for the hogs, the fun, the adrenaline, hunting for gators, the people, the community, the food. Oh, man, everything just hit all the boxes just perfectly.
Well, this was your trip that you planned. You do this for everybody, so it's more or less because of you that we had such a great time.
Danielle.
Yeah, Joel.
So if you did not know the people, if you weren't who you are, you would not have met all those people that would help with everything.
Wow, that's very kind of you to say.
So it's you to do that and put it all
together.
Danielle,
you just hit the nail on the head, because truly all those folks that, you know, helped our We Can Be Fantastic was just an extension of Joel.
Yeah.
So thank you, Joel.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
That's really nice of you guys to say, but you're giving me too much credit, because I've gone down there with some grouchy people who refuse to have a good time.
Well, that's their problem.
You really have...
They say the hogs and gators.
You've got to have an open mind, because rednecking it down south can get a little tough. We didn't even have running
redneck spa.
Hey, you know what? We are outdoorsmen. Us ladies can improvise.
That's a fact. And the more you are willing to roll with the punches, the better time you'll have. And I think that's a perfect way to end the show, is by saying, when life gets tough, do your best to roll with the punches. Mm-hmm. Be kind to those around you. And thank you. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Dive into the heart of community issues with Lean Local, hosted by former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. Lean Local focuses on what truly matters in our neighborhoods and communities. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Sundays at 1 on 97.9 WGBW.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. More mysterious drone sightings over a number of states, including New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia.
The aircraft now getting the attention of public officials. Mendham Borough Mayor Christine Serrano has organized a task force to track, record, and share drone sightings.
At this rate, they need to let us know if it's their equipment, if our government owns this. And that's it.
In a bulletin obtained by ABC News, the New Jersey Division of Fire Safety warning downed or landed drones should not be approached.
ABC's Ike Ajachi. New details in the killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Police now say the suspect did not take a bus, took the train to Pennsylvania. And we've learned that the FBI and NYPD spoke to Luigi Mangione's mother a day before he was arrested. American Travis Timmerman handed over to the U.S. after months in a Syrian prison. But there's no word yet on the whereabouts of American Austin Tice. This is ABC News.